What is the best thing to do? What's the best thing to do? I guess that's the thing. I was gonna try. I was trying to add something more to it as a living. Where's the best place to live? What are all these things? I don't know. This is Jason Nemro, and you are listening to Cohen Monk Mormon. I'm here driving along, going to my crash site where I go and live my, well, I don't live my monkish life. I've got a job, and I'm not really going to get into what the job is because you know what? I think to a certain extent, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do as a job. Now it needs to be, legal, moral, not bad. You certainly need to do your job in such a way so that you're a good person. You need to be worthy of your hire, as it says in Scripture. But what really does matter? What? And I'm not sure I have a really great answer for this. What is God really looking for out of us? Now, these are interesting times, can I tell you? These are what's called the last days. These are the final days, the winding up scene of one part of our existence. Well, of the Earth's existence, frankly. Can I say that? Although we are somewhat intrinsically tied to the Earth. When people talk about Mother Nature and feel this interesting connection with the Earth, like how, well, some people feel really great when they're up in the mountains or out in nature, going fishing, stuff like that. I think that's because we are really intrinsically tied to this place. At some point, I'm going to have to do a recording about culture. One of my biggest issues, I think, and I think it causes me a lot more problems than I think anybody thinks it should. Anyway, that I'm not going to talk about that right now, except that we are coming to the end of a phase of the earth. What's going to be coming is called the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came in the, it's called the meridian of time. It was kind of in the middle. If you were to measure things from when, I don't know, Adam came to the earth, what about 6,000 years ago? Anyway, apparently there's the span of this earth is 7,000 years. We are at the tail end of the 6,000 years. This is called the dispensation of the fullness of times. This is when everything that has been before reaches its fulfillment. There is a seventh thousand years coming up. It's called the millennium. And it's going to be an interesting time because the earth actually makes a pretty large shift. We talked about the people, about the potential for people to have a telestial glory and a terrestrial glory. The earth has these things too. Right now, we're at the tail end of the telestial time for the earth. And everything telestial is going to be gotten rid of. Cleaning, burning. Oh my gosh, there was once a flood. We're not going to have another flood again. God promised that. But are we going to have, is there going to be a burning? It sounds like there is. One never knows if this is really figurative or literal. It's hard to say when you're looking at the Bible, because people have lots of fun in the Bible explaining things, and sometimes they just make a big story out of it. Jesus was actually pretty good about telling a lot of stories. And so, and you can say, well, that's not true. And you go, well, it's kind of a it's kind of a moralistic play, and he said it with a deeper purpose to try to teach something. Anyway, you probably know this. Regardless, we're at this interesting point where things are going to get cleaned up. A lot of telestial people, all the telestial people, are going to be gone at some point. Don't exactly know the mechanism. Probably doesn't matter. If you want to stay on this planet, and I think it's going to be executed by death, in that all of the telestial people will be destroyed. They'll die. Now, destruction doesn't mean that they disappear. It just means that they move on, you know, like we talked about before. Go to the spirit world, pay for whatever sins that you haven't repented of, judgment. Oh, wait, resurrection, then judgment. And then on to a reward befitting yourself, what you really are, what you became or failed to become. Anyway, so the Earth is going through this kind of a thing too. Now, the Earth will ultimately be celestialized, but this happens after the seventh dispensation, the 1,000 years of, hey, it's a terrestrial world, and a lot of these rotten people that frankly the Earth doesn't like and would like to burn out of this place aren't going to be here. And there's going to be, and everybody here that's going to be pretty good, really good actually, and it's going to be much nicer. We're going to be engaged in so much nicer pursuits. Right now you have to put forth a lot of effort to do good things. And you'll have more time and opportunity to do those good things, other things too. And it's going to be a glorious time when it happens. It's going to be kind of rough this run up to it before, however the transition is. I don't know if it takes some time. I don't know if it happens all in a second. All of a sudden you wake up one morning and you go, oh my gosh. The world has just changed. Look, all the weeds are gone. I always picture the Earth in its terrestrial state like the Garden of Eden, just a big Garden of Eden or something akin to that. Now, we're not there yet, but wouldn't that be great? I would love it if I woke up in the morning, looked out at the... what passes as my lawn in the front yard, and it'll be like there's no weeds out there. There's no weeds at all. There's only good plants that are really nice. I like this, and pretty stuff. I like this too, and oh my gosh, everything looks so lush. I kind of live in kind of a border region between the plains and the desert, and things don't grow very well there, except for really bizarre and nasty weeds. And I'm starting to wonder if the grass that I have isn't actually just kind of weedy because of its ability to keep down other weeds. But it's neither here nor there. Don't worry too much about it. This interesting time is coming, and that really should give all of us an incentive to try to do better, to be better, to examine our lives, to say these are some things I need to change, to start changing them. That is repentance. Or that's most of the mechanics of repentance. You still need to get with God and tell him to forgive you for the person you were previously and help you become the person that you would prefer to be, hopefully more like God. This is a wonderful time to do that, you know, when things are starting to get really quite bizarre. And It's really hard to trust anything. Don't put your trust in the arm of flesh. That is getting so much more traction, so much more true than I think it's been in any other time. I know my parents prefer the world that they came from, you know, born in the 40s, the early 40s, actually, raised up in the 50s, became adults in the 60s, pretty much finished having children. I graduated. I was the younger of two sons of my parents, and we both turned 20 in the 1980s, and they were grandparents on after that. Now both of my parents are just about ready to turn 80 here shortly, and they really lived in kind of a nice time. Mostly did most of their growing up between wars. My dad joined the military right out of high school. It was between Korea and Vietnam. And so, you know, he just learned how to fix airplanes, which became his first profession, first trade was repairing airplanes, big jets. Anyway, and he'd already served in the military, so he really didn't get involved in Vietnam, and that was a real blessing. Who wants to be involved in a war? So he really got his timing was just nigh on to excellent. Things are a little bit harder. You know what? I really can't think of what to say much to my own children. I think I gave them some advice, although I really said you need to talk to God. It says God knows what you should be doing. I really don't have anything to say because I think we're getting ready to get ourselves into a horrible war. It's really dumb. And whatever. Several of my kids have gone into interesting circumstances. The three younger boys went into the military, and they've since come out. One of them's trying to go back in. The other one has stayed in so far, and I've got another one who is looking for contract work offshore, unless other things come up first. And those are good things because the military does a reasonably good job of taking care of you, even if there's a war on. You know, you have a place to sleep, you have a place to eat. It's gotten really tricky it's like I... Here at the autumn of my working life, have always had really good luck with housing. I've been able to find housing, to afford housing, and now I've got a house that's paid off, and it's not because I was a wonderful guy. It's because I moved into my mom's old house that was already paid for. You know, it just practically kind of fell into my lap, and I just hung on to it. I don't know if my kids will be able to do as well as I did as far as, you know, having those kinds of possibilities. And that's tricky and that's rough. And so for my part, it really encourages them to get close to God and get some good spiritual opportunities, because God is really going to have to steer them much more and much earlier than I ever felt the need to really turn to him. I don't think I ever really turned to God too stridently until I was probably in my 40s. And I'm really hoping that my kids in their 20s and 30s, which is where my kids are now, really embrace trying to understand and follow the Spirit of God so that they can have the answers that they need. And that's really kind of a concept that I've drilled into them. And it's really worked for me. It's been fantastic. Some things have come up that I never could have foreseen. And I've been really quite blessed. And I really do quite well financially, which is, in this day and age, that seems to be the most important thing. If you're not doing really well financially, you're just not going to make it on some level. I don't know what those people do. Or I guess they stay with their parents right now. Well, I don't want to talk about the situation. My boys are basically staying next door to me in a house that we have taken over management of. It's not really my house, but I take care of it, and my kids can stay there for free. And that's a wonderful opportunity. It was abandoned, and I kind of said, okay, I will pay the taxes. And so they all stay there for free. So I'll pay the taxes, and I'll keep up the yard so the city won't get angry at you. And they said, okay, cool. We're tired of getting poked at by the city of Tucumcari for a house that we can't really figure out how to get rid of. That was their biggest problem. They just walked away from it, and it stayed vacant for a long time, and we kind of snapped it up. And I don't know if that's the kind of creativity. I don't know if that's creative particularly, but that's what kind of happened. And I think there's going to have to be a lot of that going forward if the economics of living don't turn in a more positive way. I think a lot of people are going to have to end up living really fringy, living on the fringes of reality, and probably have to struggle a lot more than I had to. I feel very blessed. I can only imagine that my parents feel even more blessed. You know, things used to work much better than they do now. And there isn't much indication it's going to get better. And I don't think anybody is even saying, hey, it's going to get better. I think everybody's saying, oh, no, things are going to get worse. It's almost like they're almost kind of making it happen. There's some world that they're trying to get to that's actually worse. And, you know, but apparently we're not going to have such a carbon footprint, which frankly I'm like, it's like, you know, well, it might be really nice if, you know, there's no pollution or a whole lot less pollution, but if we're all having to live in a world where we can only have lights for a couple of hours every day, and the water gets turned on and the water gets turned off, you know, and you're going, my house is all electric because they told us that was the thing we needed to do, so we built houses that don't have natural gas in them, that don't have other ways of heating them. And it's like, how are we going to stay warm when we don't have enough electricity to do this? And there just seems to be a lot of shrugging and saying, but this is better for the earth. And it's like you're saying, you know what? I said, I don't like you people. I don't give, you know, I said, I'm sorry. I said, the earth is a big girl. She can handle a lot of things. It isn't a question of having enough oil. Although everybody's still acting like that we're going to run out of oil, but then we didn't. And then they said, oh, well, we'll just change what we say. Now we're going to say that oil is evil and we can't use it anymore. And you go, but we're going to have it. It will have been around. It'll still be around. This isn't like Mad Max where it's like, oh, we've got the last little reserves of oil. Oil went away. And it's like, no, we've got plenty of oil. That's apparently isn't the problem. Every time we go out looking for oil, we can find it. We haven't run out yet, and it doesn't look like, it doesn't look like it. We will. So what do? You go, oh, you make everybody live in really badly managed third world country status, which is what everybody thinks is, let me tell you, I'm doing air quotes right here, fair. I hate the word fair. Fair is evil as far as I'm aware of. When people say fair to me, I go, don't you dare pitch fair as if that's a nice thing to say or that's good or desirable. Nothing is good in fair. Fair means that we take away everything nice or decent and we spread it out so that nobody gets anything good, and then we all have to live like dogs. Those pictures that you look at in like the National Geographic or on some channels about history or stuff like that, and it looks like these shanty towns. I've had experiences in shanty towns. I've worked in Africa, and I didn't work at a shanty town, but I worked right next to it. It was right next to the sea. Everybody there were fishermen, and although they were all very happy, they didn't have anything. Some of them had electricity. Almost none of them did, really. They would all have to gather around the black and white TV in one guy's place, which was basically a refrigerator box. And cooking on. See, this is the funniest part. They all say, oh, we need to stop using oil. And you're going, well, these guys are still using coal, basically, or kerosene to cook and to heat themselves when it gets too cold. Luckily, in Africa, it's just kind of steamy all the time, and you don't have to worry so much about heat. Cooling becomes a real issue. You have to kind of create your own shade. Because most of the time you've torn down all the trees. The place where I was at, there wasn't a tree anywhere near the place, and it was a whole bunch of huts. Huts give you the impression of being enclosed. It only had walls on three sides and kind of a lean-to roof over three walls. If you were doing well, they were concrete block walls and not as tall as you standing in it. It wasn't that tall. It was something that you had to duck into to go into. And, you know, you mostly sat in these three-walled places. People who weren't doing as well, their three walls were made out of cardboard or like palm tree fronds or something like that, woven together. They would rip them into strips, these palm tree leaves, and would weave them into kind of a rough fabric, And for many of them, that was their walls, you know, supported a little bit by bamboo, if that was able to be found. And their roof sometimes was made of the same stuff. The people with better resources had a tin roof, a kind of a metal roof, and or something akin to that to try to keep things out, or plywood planks, which don't work very well because they don't work very well. When they get wet, they start getting very weird. Anyway, so you almost get the impression that when our leadership, when those rich people, I really hate this to be classist, but it really is, look at that thing, they kind of look at that and they go, well, that's a viable way to live, and they really want to see more of that in the United States. Even though, can I tell you the honest truth, when I look at like Google Earth or I look at Google Maps and I look at that part of Togo, which was where I was working at the time, that whole shanty town has been razed to the ground. It's just a big empty nothing now. I can only imagine that tens of thousands of people, families, a lot of them, had lived there, and I don't know what happened to them. I hope it was something good. I hope something better was found. I hope it's something that's more amenable to those folks, but I don't know that. And these are tough times, and it seems like the direction that leadership, quote, leadership, wants to go in is that most of the world is going to be like this. And if you die of weird diseases that come from the conditions you live in, that would be a situation where, you know, the powerful would just shrug and say, well, that's kind of what happens. We got all this money. We bought nice houses. It's really interesting. When I think about the future, I think about Africa. There were also these nice houses, nice Western-looking houses, but they were totally surrounded by walls and big high security fences that you couldn't see through to keep the riffraff out. And can I tell you what the reality is? We're all going to end up being the riffraff. And let me tell you, those guys drove around in some pretty nice cars. Of course, they were driving on these rutted dirt roads, but you know, that's kind of what you had. And remember, we would be in this kind of a bus, kind of like the universities use to transport their athletes. Those were the kinds of buses that we were transported to and from, like the airport, stuff like that. When we got done with our shift, you know, we were on the boat for several weeks, and then we get several weeks off, and that's how it worked. And of course, we worked on the boat, which was a whole nother world from the people in the shanty town, you know. Anyway, so that's kind of what I picture going forward if these plans come to fruition. I'm really hoping that Christ comes sooner than that, that the kind of catastrophic things that are supposed to happen prior or as part of Christ's second coming happen soon. I really hope it happens before they can do a lot of damage to the world in favor of them just saying, you know what? I said, I'm going to buy up all this land, and everybody who lives in it will be my serfs. Maybe they'll be my slaves. I'm not sure. If somebody owns all the land that you and your neighbors live on, and if they don't want you anymore, if they have the power to bring in some force to move you from one place to another, you know what? That makes you a practical slave. You don't get to decide where you live. The people who own the land that you're sitting on, they get to decide where you live. And it's like, oh, okay, huh. You know, and that's why, I'm sorry, when I live in places that are only kind of temporary, I don't tend to fix them up too much. I don't tend to invest a lot of money in them for the simple reason that they're not mine. And therefore, it's like, no, I'm not going to make improvements. I'm not going to do stuff like that. If you want to make improvements, you can do that. And then once you've done it, if you want to raise my rent, then the question I have is, am I going to continue to live there? You know, and that's up to me. I get to choose when I leave and when I go and when I'm willing to pay and when I'm not willing to pay. And you go, for these people in these shanty towns, I think it ended up just being, okay, you guys are all going to have to leave. We don't know where you're going to go. I don't know if we care deeply. Here's a place that you might go, this real big high-rise apartment building that's probably not in very good shape. You can go and you can start renting there. And, you know, because we're going to bring in the bulldozers and we're going to destroy all this stuff and get rid of it. And the person who owns it might not even really have a plan for what they're going to do with that land, except to say, you know, I'm going to raise it and make sure it's all level and good so that if I ever do sell it, I can sell it out to some developer, or I can choose to develop it myself. And it's like, wow, what does all this mean? And you're going, are they evil? And you go, I don't know. That's really up to Christ to decide who's evil and who's not. And, you know, if you choose to treat people badly, I can't think that God would think well of that. But if it is your land, you can do what you wish with it. That's true. Anyway, so these are tough times coming up. And like I said, I don't know what to expect for my kids. I don't know where to lead them to. I ended up doing things. I don't know if that was wise or not. Like I said, a lot of them live an interesting kind of work in exchange for food and lodging and a little stipend situations. And I said, it is kind of quasi serfdom. It might be the modern version of it. I don't know. Trading yourself for a certain labor and people will feed you. That's not half bad. And that might be what we come to, that you just have to go and you end up having to work for other people on a much more intrinsic level than has been the case for the last 100 years or so. And when you look at it, that scale, isn't that interesting? You go, you know, this whole thing of you owning your own house, you being able to rent an apartment, and that's really the only business deal between you and somebody else, and you kind of put your own sort of living situation together. And there's a possibility, you know, this is a lot of people go into real estate because they buy it now, they hold on to it, make improvements to it for some years. And when they get ready to, and then they decide to sell for whatever reason, the value of that home has appreciated. I've known a lot of people that were doing just that. On some level, I think I was doing that not too long ago. Kind of hopping and bopping from place to place, getting more money or less. Well, obviously less money sometimes with how the economy has gone. But that might not be something that regular people can really engage in very, very much longer. I don't know if it's a devolution. I guess you can call it that. We will devolve down to something that really feels more like the Middle Ages, where there are a handful of really rich people and everybody else is kind of beholden to them. You know, you live in a house, that your master has granted to you in exchange for something else. It could be rent. It could be a percentage of your increase, where it's like, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter how hard I work, I may never get ahead because they always take, 50% of my money goes to my landlord, wait, does that make him my lord? Do I have to do what he says? And you go, we might get back to that. And so that's why I really say, stay close to God. Stay close to God and do what he, and try and work to understand when the Spirit's talking to you and telling you what to do, telling you when to go, when to come, when to leave a situation and go someplace else and do something else. God always works in your favor. But you've got to know when God's trying to tell you something. The best way is to get baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you have to do that. I'm sorry, the most authoritative way to do that, the only authoritative way to do that is through the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have priests, and the baptisms that they do there are recognized by Jesus Christ. And in doing that, as you keep his commandments, you can say that he's obligated to help you. And that may not be a bad way to look at it, is to say, I'm working hard and I'm doing the things that Christ wants me to do. Therefore, I can expect blessings from him. Now, you got to listen too, so that you can know when to grab on to those blessings. And what they look like and how you're going to get them and things like that. He'll help you with employment. He'll help you with 100 other things. He'll help you relocate. These are fantastic things. And they are provided by the Lord, either through in inspiration to you or through his church that can help you along for doing these things. Anyway, so don't be afraid. Go to www.churchofjesuschrist.org and learn more about what's available, about what God has in store for you. It's not in specific form there. What the Lord is trying to bless you with, mostly in the future, but also now too. to try and take care of each other. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and leave it at that. Trying to think what I'm going to call this. We're probably ramping up to the second coming. Anyway, let me leave you with the priestly blessing of my fathers. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace.